hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. It was dreary earlier. Couldn't see my shadow this morning, but I can right now. As you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. As the weather gets warmer, the shows get thicker, as we say. Lots of things to cover. We're going to talk about two of them that are going on during the as the program unfolds here this morning here on the Arts Magazine Show. First, we're going to journey out to Blue Springs City Theater, where, going on into its second weekend, The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales will be back on the stage again. The Stinky Cheese Man, by the way, is here today. Windows are open. Central Air is going on, so we will survive all of this going on. Vicki Miller, the director, is with us. This sounds like a difficult one. It's a lot of vignettes, as I understand. I guess the feature is the Stinky Cheese Man, but lots of other stories. The some of your favorite storybook tales probably get a new and complete makeover in this rendition.
They do indeed. The stories are based on familiar characters like Chicken Little and the Gingerbread Man, who becomes the Stinky Cheese Man. Also, things like Cinderella, Rumpelstiltskin come into play, but they're not quite the same as you're used to hearing. And the whole story is just ridiculously funny and just bringing lots of laughter through the audiences this past weekend.
Do we try to tie all of those stories together? I've seen that attempted in other shows.
It kind of does. We have our main character, Jack the Narrator, who ties everything together, bringing each of the stories through from start to finish. And just a lot of silliness that goes on that brings them in. And we have 56 kids in our cast that are helping to portray these stories and just bringing a lot of joy and a lot of laughter.
Now, you've directed before, haven't you?
Not in the community theater setting, no. Yeah, but this is my first show.
But either you, I'm trying to remember, you or your kids or have been involved for quite some time.
Yes, I have been involved with the community theater for the last probably 7 or 8 years, mostly following my own children throughout the acting process. But I've done just about everything backstage, on stage, in front, back of house, all of those things, selling tickets, ushering, and sometimes just being the parent that brings the kid to rehearsals.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big job.
It is.
Especially in a show like this. It sounds like you probably have a lot of people. Or do you double and triple cast?
There's 56 of them total. Well, and with those, most of them are some type of understudy for another role. So they play an ensemble role, and they may also be preparing to understudy if needed. And we've had a few of those where it has been needed.
How did this show come to the attention of your play review committee to decide to do this particular one?
We were looking for our 2018 season several months ago and saw this play come up in the list of available youth productions. And this particular story had been a favorite of my own children when they were younger. So much so that we wore the book out. We read it so much. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it was written as a play, I got very excited and I said, we have to do The Stinky Cheese Man. It is one of my favorite stories.
Okay. And you, like I said, he's here. We're going to hold back. I know he's the featured one, of course, but we want to understand how this happens. Right. How one gets to be the job of the Stinky Cheese Man. I'm sure he'll have a story about that as we go on. But sure. 56, do you feel like you're herding cattle?
Chasing cats sometimes. Chasing cats. Uh-huh. But one of the amazing things with this cast is we've had some pretty incredible support from their parents. So it's been a real team effort between the production team and myself and the parents and even the kids. The kids have stepped in and really just helped make this production what it is.
So some of your favorite storybook tales, let's put it that way. They finally get remade and fit into this particular format. Maybe Rapunzel, no Cinderella. I don't know. It's a possibility, I suppose.
Cinderella has an encounter with Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes. Yeah, that makes it funny. If the kids know the stories, they can relate to how they would have never suspected that they interact. Now, you, of course, need a narrator to help you tie all these things together, and you cast a young man named Kyle Hammond as Jack the Narrator. Can it just be Kyle the Narrator?
No.
No? Can't happen that way. But your function is to help tie all of these parts together through narration.
Yes.
Okay. Like, for instance, how do you tie part one and part two and all that?
The way it all works is that it also goes based on when the curtain closes and opens back up. But yes, I will take a bit of a pause in order to get ready for the next part of it. I end my last line of the last scene, and then I take a bit of a pause and a breather before heading into my spot for the next scene.
Now, you've got all this down, it sounds like. If somebody changes on you, like the wrong one comes on at the wrong time, you're all prepared for that?
No.
He does do a pretty good job of improvising.
Yeah. Well, someday you may go into radio someday, and anything can happen, let me tell you. I've had lots of things happen. but you get to tie all these diverse parts together.
Yes.
Yes. Let's tell me a little bit about yourself. The title is actually Jack the Narrator. You've performed before with Blue Springs. Tell us what you've done.
My first performance with Blue Springs was back in 2013 when I was 12. It was a Laura Ingalls Wilder in which I played Johnny Stedman, one of the bigger roles of that.
Yeah, that was directed by...
Nancy Eppert.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of her. That was a takeoff on the Little House on the Prairie series. Or I guess the series was a takeoff on the Laura Ingalls Wilder books.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone wrote recently a book called The True Story of Laura Ingalls Wilder, a little different from the things that she wrote. I noticed that in the book review section of the paper one day. So are you going to read that book and see how everything went?
No.
No, you're not.
I'm not much of a reader.
You're not? Okay. Well, have you done anything else at Blue Springs besides working with
Nancy? Yes. A year ago, I did the 12 Dancing Princesses with director Alex Phillips.
I know him as well. He's a very straight-laced, toe-of-the-line kind of guy, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes? That wouldn't be my description. But was that a rewarding experience for you?
It was really fun.
Okay.
It was definitely different from what I had been used to, but it definitely allowed me to get more comfortable with a bit of a funnier and more comedic role.
Sure. Now, you've also performed with Lee Summit Theater.
Storybook Theater, yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
That was for a play called The Miracle Worker, which was based on Helen Keller's life back when she was young, being blind and deaf and having to learn how to cope with that due to a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Were you James by any chance?
No.
No?
Her son, Vicky's son, CJ, was James. That was one of the parts I went for. I also went for Captain Keller because I figured I could do a more dramatic role, which I have been good at in the past. But no, I played the doctor, like an actual surgical doctor, and Dr. Anagnos, the principal of the School of Blind Kids, where... I send Annie to Helen to help her cope with her disabilities.
So you didn't get to be part of that food fight scene that when we did that show in school, and I was Captain Keller. I had to work on the accent and the pronunciations, but I was Captain Keller. But the food fight scene, that was one of the better known ones. I recall a fork. Oh, the director just shuddered. A fork bouncing and going up into the audience. I remember that. The director was afraid of lawsuits and things like that. But that never happened. Was that a fun experience for you? It's a serious show. It has its comedic moments, but it's a very serious show.
It was a lot of fun. I think everybody did do a great job in the parts that they were cast with. And it was honestly one of my favorite groups to be put with.
Now, you're also involved with Monarch Conservatory?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Tell us just a little bit about that.
It was originally going to start as a play they were going to do called Guys and Dolls, which I tried out for. I was going to play Nicely. Yeah. It was a set deal, but they couldn't get enough guy parts for it. So instead, the director and teacher of the Monarch Conservatory offered me a half-paid scholarship for the class that he was doing.
How did your folks feel about you playing in a show where you're singing about the largest floating craft game in New York?
It was my mom's idea.
Oh, really? Okay. that doesn't necessarily lend itself to young people, but it is a fun show to do. Are you a good singer?
She sure seems to think so.
Okay. We'll let you off the hook now. Jack the narrator, thanks for talking with us, Kyle.
Thank you.
Boy, it's a series of vignettes, as you say. Is there any particular order that makes sense of it?
It follows the path of the book. It's actually pretty true to the actual children's book that it's of the same title, The Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales, by John Sheshka and Lane Smith. It was published in the 90s. And so the whole production follows that storyline that goes along with it. I suppose if you did it, wrote your own play to this of this format, you could put them in any order. But it just seems to fit really well the way it's put together.
Yeah, it does. So. And which of the vignettes was perhaps the most difficult to put together? Any one more than any other one?
Probably the most complicated scene is probably the Stinky Cheese Man scene. Ah. So it's one of the longer scenes, and within it we go from the cottage of the little old lady and the little old man to a river, and we have to, you know, portray the river, and we have some kids that help to do that, and it just, we have Stinky Cheese Man. I don't want to, you know, do a spoiler alert, but Stinky Cheese Man has a funny moment in the river, so we'll leave it at that.
Probably has to take a bath. But there's many vignettes involved in it, and one involves, I'm going to say, the ugly duckling, played by a not ugly at all, Kimberly Gherkin.
Thank you.
You play the ugly duckling in this. Do you have to ugly yourself up quite a bit?
Oh, yes. Well, the costume is something else. It's feathers of all different types, and I wear bright pink booties on my feet, so that's... It's an interesting costume, for sure.
Let's see what you've done before. The Coterie, and you've actually taken part in the classes over there at the Coterie.
Oh, yes.
Coterie's very famous, you know. Did they tell you it's one of the, was rated
top
at one time?
Top five children's theater
that's right, in the country.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that why you wanted to study with them and Jeff?
Oh, I mean, yeah. My mom started me pretty young at the Coterie, doing some of the classes for younger kids. So, and then I was just hooked, and now I'm in the master program with them, and they also do a Young Playwrights Roundtable, which I take part in, where we bring in things we've written and get to read them and get peer reviews, and it's really cool. So,
some of your favorite, or doesn't have to be your favorite. So sometimes we like the show, sometimes we don't, but... Tell us about the shows you've done for the Coterie.
Oh, so, well, for the Coterie, I've done Into the Woods, which was...
Well, that's very similar to this.
Yeah, with all the fairy tales yes, intertwining. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I was Little Red Riding Hood in that, and it was a blast. It's one of my favorite roles. Mm-hmm. And I was also in Honk, where I also played a bird.
Oh.
Yes, this is my third time being a bird, actually.
Oh, so you're being stereotyped
yes,
as a bird.
Yes, I'm getting typecasted.
I know. Yeah. That can be rough.
Yeah, it's okay. I like birds. Okay. So I was in Honk, Into the Woods, Legally Blonde Jr., and then I was also, last summer I was in She Kills Monsters, which is a play, and it actually takes place in like a Dungeons and Dragons universe, but it's dramatic, but put into like a comedic kind of universe as a coping method for the death of the main character's sister and parents, and... Yeah, so I was the sister that died, but, like, I was there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And what about Christian Youth Theater? You've participated with those projects as well.
Oh, yes. So last summer I did Big Fish at CYT Theater, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. They have classes as well?
Yes. I've never taken a class there, but I've heard they're very cool.
Yeah. They started you early. What do you aspire to later on?
Oh, well, I would like to be an actress. I'm actually signed with an agency, so, and this summer I'm going to a convention for that, so.
To audition for many agents at once?
Yeah, a lot of agents and casting directors and anyone else who would like to come see some talent.
The Coterie had a show go to Off-Broadway a few years back. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the things that made you want to be with them?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They did one of their shows got taken all the way to Off-Broadway.
Wow. I know. Right now they're doing Tuck Everlasting. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see that. But what show was...
Oh, I'm trying to think. It involved a duck as well. A bird.
Oh.
Well, I think it was Lucky Duck, I think was the name of it.
Oh, okay.
So the actress got to go to New York to play for a while. Wow. That's probably something you'd love to do.
Oh, I know. My little bird heart can only aspire to
a little bird heart.
Be a bird on Broadway someday.
That's cute. Okay. All right. The Ugly Duckling comes early on in the presentation, towards the middle.
Ugly Duckling comes in three different times. Once, towards the end of the first act, she makes a special appearance at intermission and then comes back in right at the beginning of the second act.
Oh, so. Well, you're reoccurring.
Yes.
Yeah. You keep coming back.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but I do a pretty cool rap. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's
an Ugly Duckling rap.
Well, that's a pretty good tease.
Yes.
You're getting the logo down pretty good. It goes on and on, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how are performances the first weekend? You'd be coming up upon your second.
Right.
Yeah.
Our first weekend of performances went really, really well. Lots of laughter all the way through the show, all the way through the audiences. I love hearing, especially the little kids in the audience, just start cracking up. It's so wonderful. These kids have maintained their energy all the way through the show, through our first four performances, and I am just so excited to see what they're going to do this weekend.
Performances continue this Friday, March 9th at 7:30 p.m. Then Saturday, the 10th at 7:30 p.m. A matinee on Sunday, the 11th at 2:00 p.m. at the Blue Springs Civic Center. That is also on the campus of Blue Springs High School. There's actually a stage both ways, they're towards the audience or the cafeteria. They could do it either way. Maybe one day they'll turn around and do one act and one the other act.
But maybe some dinner theater or something like that.
Maybe so. It's located at 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive in Blue Springs. If you MapQuest things, you need the zip code, which is 64015. Tickets can be had two ways, at their website, bluespringscitytheater.com, or the phone number to call, 816-256-1238. Now, the show is called Stinky Cheese Man and Other Fairly Stupid Tales, but I guess you hold the actual Stinky Cheese Man till towards the end? It's not for aesthetic reasons.
No, not specifically. Again, because it follows the flow of the book, but it is kind of fun that the title character scene is highlighted towards the conclusion of the entire play, but it's a very, very fun scene and lots of surprises in it.
The Stinky Cheese Man is with us. His name is Cameron Henderson. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, hello there.
It's all right. However you want to put it, it's fine. Take no offense that the windows are open. We were warned ahead of time, so you take no offense at that, do you?
Mm.
No? You do? Just a little bit? Okay.
Maybe just a little bit.
Tell us about the Stinky Cheese Man. How his segment fits into the show.
Well, the Stinky Cheese Man is really stinky, and
I kind of assumed that.
Yes, and the Stinky Cheese Man is very funny, dramatic, and he thinks stuff. He likes to think everyone wants to eat him, but...
Well, they do.
No, they don't.
They don't want to eat the cheese?
Stinky cheese. Stinky cheese man.
Limburger doesn't smell very good, but it tastes good.
It does.
Your taste will develop as you get older, I think.
Well, I have to search up if you can eat stinky cheese. And
now,
you can.
Without giving anything away, what is his big challenge in the show?
His big challenge is not to get eaten, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's very scared. I don't know if he's, like, scared. He might be scared because everyone maybe wants to eat him. And, yeah, walking into the audition was, like, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get a part, but I'll just try my best. Then when I was in the car and coming back from school, and my mom said, "You're the Stinky Cheese Man." I'm like, "Who is that?" I'm like, "You got the wool." I'm like, "What?" What? And then, yeah, I became stinky.
I assume that's for stage only, though. I doubt that your mother would put up with you getting too much in the role. You know, Al Pacino and Dustin Hoffman, they believe in being the character. You know, if they're going to play a drunken man, they actually go out and drink. But no sinking for you, I'm sure.
That's okay. Well, it's fun. It was fun, like, acting on stage, and I've been in CYT shows.
I was going to ask that. What have you done over there at CYT?
Well, I done, what was it called again? Trolls. We did Trolls, and I played Blanche.
Okay.
And I think it was six shows. Yeah, I think it was six. The first one I played Blanche, the second one I played... let me think of it. It was Cars 3, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I played Lightning McQueen.
No, that sounds like an interesting character.
Yeah.
And were you really fast?
Yes. Yes, and my friend that played, he played that black guy. I don't remember his character, and he was like mad because first of all I was winning, then he just took my place, and then we was having a race in the scene, and it was fun. It was really fun being in acting, and at the end, we all had a break, and at the end, I think we get cookies, yeah. At the end, we had cookies.
Hey, you got paid for something. That's
yeah, and the fourth show, what was it called again? It was... Toy Story, yes.
Oh,
and yes. I played Woody.
Really? No, that was the main role as well.
My fifth show was the Stinky Cheese Man.
Okay, and you're here.
Okay, let's make that five shows, yes. Okay. No six shows, five shows.
Make that five shows? Okay, I'll write that down.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you have any training for any of these roles, or classes or anything else?
Well, yeah, I took classes at... CYT, yes, mm-hmm. And I think it was a two-hour class, and yeah, it was fun being there, and being here now is like, it's fun, yeah, it's like fun, because when we go to play practice, it's like, when is it gonna be my scene? I'm like, hey mom, when is it gonna be my scene? Then I'm just like, wait, that's like, okay. And yeah, and it's like really fun, and
I got a story for you. You can repeat. This is just between you and me. Nobody else listens.
Yes.
you know Muhammad Ali. I know he passed away within the last year, but you know who he is. The champion, the boxing champion, Muhammad Ali. I remember him telling a story one time. He said that he was so fast, he claimed he was really fast, and he was. He said he was so fast, he could turn off the switch on the bedroom light and be under the covers before the room got dark. Now you tell that story, okay? Do your best Muhammad Ali imitation as you're doing it. I think you could pull that off.
I'm going to... tell you a story about walking into the audition.
Okay.
I don't know if I already did that, but this is really... Okay, first, I was in the car, and I was like, Mom, would you be in there with me? And she's like, nope. And I'm like, Mom! Mom! Then I was like, okay, then when I got there, I was like, Mom, I don't want to go in there. Can you go with me? And she's like, no. Then I was like holding on to her because I didn't want to go in. And I thought I didn't know what to say. But then when I went in, I was nervous, yes, like I already am now. And then, yeah, I sat down, and when I was 24 and when 23 came up, I was like so scared. I was like so scared to go up. Then when I got on, I did mess up on a couple words. And I'm like, thank you, you can clap now. Then when I went down to get my picture, I fell off stage and I started laughing. And everyone started laughing. And yeah, and they said act like an alien. I'm like, okay. Then I sounded like this. Hello there. Then, yeah, and that's the tale of walking to the audition, into the audition. See,
it surprises me that you say you were nervous. I would have thought that you'd just be chomping at the bit to get up there and do your thing.
Yeah, my mom always tells me just get up there and do a thing and just show your self and show your true self what you are. And I was like, okay, Mom, I'll show myself. I'm like, hello, everyone.
Well, you'll get to see Cameron being himself. Does a lot of his own personality goes into the Stinky Cheese Man?
Absolutely. And it just comes out better and better every night. And it was his personality and him being himself that we looked at him right away and said, he's our Stinky Cheese Man.
Okay.
And he just does a wonderful job. And he sings, by the way.
Oh.
I don't want to brag, but I am a pretty good singer.
Okay. I believe you. We don't want to violate any ASCAP rules, but good to have you. Cameron and his fellow performers will be on the stage of the Blue Springs City Theater again, coming up this Friday, March the 9th, 7:30 p.m., Saturday the 10th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday the 11th at 2 p.m. at the Blue Springs Civic Theater. That is also the campus of Blue Springs High School, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. If you MapQuest, the zip code 64015. The number to call for more information, 816-256-1238, or on the web at bluespringscitytheater.com. I want to thank all of you for coming. And telling us all about the Stinky Cheese Man and other fairly stupid tales. I guess they're all kind of in the same vein, I guess.
They are.
Sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun, if you haven't already.
We have been having a blast with this.
That's right. Thank you. Vicki Miller, the director of the show. Kimberly Gerking, who plays the ugly duckling. Good luck with your endeavors in the future. Cameron Henderson, he is the Stinky Cheese Man.
Stinky.
And let's see who have we got. Oh, Kyle Hammond, who plays Jack the Narrator. Thanks you for being here today. And they will go on stage again starting this Friday the 9th at the Blue Springs Civic Theater, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
For being with us. We're going to take a debrief break. When we return, the Unicorn Theater will be with us. Tell us about their show that's coming up as well. A very serious topic. Informed consent when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. The voice of the Reverend Dwight Frizzell there. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to journey down the street. Oh, a good long half a block down the street to the Unicorn Theater, 3828 Main is where they are, presenting Informed Consent. The show will run, oh, it's very close to opening, isn't it? March 7th through April the 1st. And with us to tell us all about it, the director is Darren Sextro, but Manon Halliburton is with us, well-known actress here around town. I last saw her as the Queen just a little further down Main Street at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. Thanks for being here with
us. Thank you for having me.
Anjali Gavin. Anjali.
Yes.
See, I'm going to phonetically write it.
That's how I always
think. And you actually pronounce my name Manon.
Manon?
Yes, it's like Chiffon Manon. Yes. Manon.
Manon.
Yeah, people say Manon all the time.
Manon. Well, that sounds better. It sounds more professional actress-like.
It's
when you accept your Oscar, you'll have to exaggerate the Manon part of it. Notice how many little squibbles they did last night.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. This is a very serious topic. As I read all about the show, I could see all the little complexities that goes into this lady. And I guess you play that lady. She has MS, is it?
No, I have early onset Alzheimer's.
Early onset Alzheimer's.
Yes, okay. And I am a genetic anthropologist, which technically is It's defined as sort of the emerging branch of science that combines DNA testing with archaeological, historical, linguistic evidence to sort of record the history and migration of peoples from all over the world. But my field of study that I would really like to get into is studying Alzheimer's full-time. That is my goal in this story, is to try to find a cure for it. And there may be an opportunity for that to happen by studying the peoples in this play, the Havasupai tribe. And so there are a lot of different layers to this story and this journey that she is on. And also in the story, I am married and I have a young daughter who may or may not have the gene as well. So we find out throughout the course of the story what happens with that storyline as well. So there are a lot of different layers.
Yourself and your daughter both.
Correct.
And as best you can determine, well, that's a bad way to phrase it, you might well come down with this, not only yourself, but your daughter as well.
Absolutely. I may, already at the very beginning of the play, within the first 15 minutes of the play, you find out pretty quickly that I do have the gene. It was inherited from my mother. So it's a matter of when I will start to come down with the symptoms of the disease, and early onset, meaning that it could have started at age 30, or it could begin starting as late as 60. So there's quite a bit of a time frame in there when this can happen. Now, in this story, it could be happening in the course of the story. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens if she's already...
Is this reality now? Do they know of this gene and can they detect it in people?
I believe...
Or is this dramatic license for this show?
No, I believe that they can detect this. I mean, genome studying and DNA testing is really so... moving so quickly. I do a lot of asides to the audience. That's another thing about this play. There are a lot of conventions that are broken with a traditional linear play. You have your beginning, middle, and end. You follow the protagonist's journey throughout the story. This play is has a lot of flashback sequences, as well as talking directly to the audience. We have a lot of narration with the choral characters that are in the piece that become characters in the present, as well as narrators in the piece. It's really fascinating and it's very intelligent, but it is not, it doesn't remove the audience from understanding the topics of the play. The science is very accessible. And it's also a very human story and a story about her journey and how she's trying to fight for not only her life, but for her daughter's.
Yeah, so it's personal as well as professional.
Absolutely.
More so personal, probably, in this particular instance.
Yes, yes. More so personal. And there are wonderful actors in this play that help tell Jillian's story. Tisha Bankston, Justin Barron, Elroy Hawkins, all of these. And, of course, we have our lovely actress right here, Anjali, yes. Who plays one of the tribe members in the play.
Now, tell us about the tribe. They have the particular gene that could help out? Anjali? Am I saying it right, Anjali?
Anjali, yeah.
Anjali,
yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like the second story of the play itself is Jillian has been called in to help figure out why this tribe, this particular tribe, has such a high rate of diabetes. And my character, Arella, she is basically the go-between, if you will, the spokesperson of this tribe. So as you know, in most history, you know, Native American tribes are very protective. They're very, I wouldn't say secretive, but just very close within themselves. You know, they don't let outsiders in particularly. And so Arella's job is to convince, you know, the tribal council of her tribe to let Jillian and the rest of the researchers come in and figure out why, you know, there's just this high rate of diabetes. And she battles with the pride and the history of the tribe and the conventional science of modern medicine, and how those can intertwine or not intertwine, so to speak. So she kind of has her own personal battle, just like Jillian does, as far as, you know, she has a daughter herself. That's kind of a way that Jillian and Arella connect, is that they both have two little girls, and the thought of what would you do to save your child? Mm-hmm. What, you know, we as females, or even just parents in general, what we do to help our children, keep our children safe and out of harm's way. What level would you go to protect your child?
Oh, sure. Yeah. See, I would think that with the diet that they would have, they'd be less prone to be to having diabetes.
Yeah, I think for in our show particularly, you know, the government has kind of supplemented and mm-hmm. is trying to help them, so to speak, and they're shipping in white bread and blocks of cheese and all these things that they're, as you said, you know, you would think their diet is good, but they're introducing certain foods that they're not used to, and which doesn't help in the way of diabetes.
So at the same time, you have this gene that would prevent you from the from Alzheimer's. Is that a good way to characterize it?
No, I think the Alzheimer's, the early onset Alzheimer's, is strictly within Jillian's realm. But since Jillian has been asked to come in and help the tribe, she's hoping that maybe if, you know, she can figure out what's going on with this tribe, then maybe she can find funding or what have you to help herself and to help her work at on early onset Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we understand her motivations. Mm-hmm. The title, I guess, tells us a lot. Informed consent.
Correct.
How does that fit into
well, the mix? Informed consent is a form that we have asked, all of the scientists, the researchers have asked the tribe to sign to give over permission for us to do our research, if you will, to take their blood, to study their blood, to try to find the causes of the diabetes. Mm-hmm. Now, within that, Jillian goes a bit above that, and not only does she take the blood for that specific research, but also for her own agenda, and looking at migration patterns and lots of things that she was not supposed to actually research in the first place. So she goes above that, and that's wherein sort of the trouble begins with her, as far as her career path is concerned, as far as her getting ahead and trying to get funding and getting publications in magazines such as Nature, in Cell magazine, which are, you know, very extinguished magazines for anyone in the science world. And so when that gets possibly cut off from her after she has done more testing than she is supposed to do, and she gets in trouble with the university and her peers, that's when the possibility of funding for her being able to have her own lab one day and to study Alzheimer's full-time is at peril.
I would think that they would understand the personal part of it along with the professional part of it and perhaps give you a little more leeway in that, but not the case?
Well, no, because, you know, there's also the sort of the moral issue, too, with, I mean, I'm coming into a world that I do not understand. Yeah. I don't understand
the traditions
of the people. I'm not honoring their traditions. For me specifically, I want to get to the truth, I say that in quotes, the truth of what is the possibility that I could discover and find in their blood, and what I can then do with it, and how it can help me personally in my journey and what I want. Mm-hmm. So I don't respect their traditions. Now, this is not covered in the consent form itself.
Right.
And there's a lot of communication breakdown. Obviously, you know, we don't read the fine print. This is a tribe where English is their second language. And so what they do sign, I don't think they fully understand what it is they are actually signing. And we do this all the time. We sign things all the time that we don't fully understand, and then there are, you know, bad things that happen or could happen because of that.
How does the tribe feel about that? Do you fully, I guess, from what Manan just said, you don't fully understand?
Well, yeah, no. The main thing that the tribe is you know, kind of, not necessarily like, do we do it, do we don't do it, is because they believe that their blood is sacred. Like, there's this big tradition and heritage about their blood and the connection that their blood has with their soul. And when their soul, when they pass on, you know, if you're not completely whole, and that includes all of your blood, every drop that you have in your body, if it is not buried with you, they believe that your soul doesn't rest, you know, you can't pass on in peace. And so for them to agree, for her to do the study that is strictly to them, or I should say, quote unquote, strictly, to them is just about diabetes, purely about diabetes and helping them get back on track health-wise, then for her to look at all these other things in our blood, you know, that's a violation to them. Mm-hmm. And it's just completely not okay with them. And especially for Arella, you know, she went out on a limb for Jillian. And for her to, you know, look at all these other aspects within their blood, it just is a betrayal, a true betrayal to her and to her people.
Well, I know people that have diabetes. They have their blood checked all the time, mm-hmm. sometimes daily.
Yeah.
So I can see where that would be a cultural clash.
Sure.
There.
Yeah. Especially, you know, never having probably, and this is an assumption on my end, but, you know, for them to be on a reservation and to be so closed off from the rest of the world, you know, they probably don't have the best mm-hmm. medical coverage or care. And so the thought of them, you know, getting their blood tested every day, especially with the traditions that they have, is probably something that they were just like, that's a no-go, that's a non-factor mm-hmm. to begin with. But I think one of Jillian and I's first scenes that we have together, you know, Jillian mentions like, hey, you know, there's so many tribe members that leave, you know, every day, every week, and, you know, they're leaving to get an amputation, something taken off of their body because of the diabetes. Like, you guys have got to come to the now and, you know, figure out what's going on. And it's not about the traditions anymore. It's about keeping your health and continuing to keep a healthy tribe.
So how do you, I assume at some, if it gives something away, don't say it, but I assume at some point you find out what she's doing and mm-hmm. you react.
Not so nicely.
Not so nicely.
Okay. Again, it goes to that, that simple bond of them both having children. And again, reiterating the, what would you do to save your child? And when she betrays that trust and that bond that they have as mothers, it kind of just crushes Arella. Like, I've trusted you. I put not only my life, my daughter's life, but my whole family and tribe's life in your hands. And you kind of go behind my back and do some other things.
And I, you know, I also, in that course too, there's the question of their heritage, mm-hmm. Where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
They sprang forth from the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. This is a line that is expressed in the play.
Yeah.
All of the tribe members believe truly, well, they believe in a lot of things, mm-hmm. But one of their strong beliefs is that they came from the Grand Canyon. That's where they originated. Part of the work that I do, being a genetic anthropologist, is studying migratory patterns, where mm-hmm. people come from. And by taking the blood and doing other tests, it's finding where they come from by looking at their genes and their DNA, I have found something else, which goes against their truth. Mm-hmm. And I start to publish articles on it, and I start to give talks about it. And this is a huge collision in the play. And so there's that aspect as well.
Yeah.
Speaking with Manon Halliburton and...
Anjali Gannon
about their roles in the play Informed Consent, opening March the 7th at the Unicorn Theater, running through April the 1st, so a nice long run at the Unicorn. The Unicorn is located at 3828 Main here in Kansas City. If you MapQuest things, 64114 is the zip code to go. You can also go to their website, unicorntheater.org, or call their box office number at 816-531-PLAY, and that translates, of course, to 7529. Speaking with the ladies right now, it's an interesting clash of ethics there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when she becomes, well, again, I hesitate to ask because it might be an integral part of the plot, but you're undaunted in your quest to do this.
I am. And I think ultimately it is just a question between the conflict between science and religious and moral beliefs, mm-hmm. and the way that people live and the way that people have lived for generations. And it's that conflict, as well as the conflict between my personal quest for trying to do what I believe is right, and also trying to save not only my own life, but more importantly, my child, who also may or may not have the gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, knowing that is kind of frightening in itself. So I've heard people say things like, I wouldn't want to know if I had this gene. And it could be for not just this illness, but other illnesses as well. I would rather not know if I have this.
And it's interesting because my husband, played by Elroy Hawkins in the play, we talked a lot about this in rehearsal. Does he know or not know that I may have tested or not tested our daughter, Natalie? Is he aware of that? How does he feel about me wanting to test her for the gene? Because there's lots of times in the play when I bring that up, mm-hmm. that I want to have her tested. Maybe I did have her tested. Maybe I haven't. Should I let him know? And what would happen if you did know that you had this gene in you that one day will awaken and do all of these horrible, destructive things to your body? What would you do with that information if you did have that information? Is it good to know that information because you can maybe do things beforehand and dietary or herbs or medications that you can take to help try to offset it? Or will it completely destroy you emotionally, uh-huh. by knowing that you might have this gene? Right. So
you'd live your life differently, which may make you more susceptible to getting maybe other things.
Other illnesses, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. So there are just so many layers and themes to this play.
Sure.
And it's such an intelligent piece, the way it's written, the way it is constructed, the way that we break the conventions of the fourth wall and we talk directly to the audience to include them in the story as well. So it's a very brilliant new work.
It is. Well, thanks for sharing this. It's the show runs, as I said, from March 7th, which is this, I guess, Wednesday it opens?
We have our first preview on this Wednesday, okay. Thursday, Friday, and we open officially on Saturday.
Okay. At the Unicorn Theater, 3828 Main Street. Again, their website, unicorntheater.org. The box office number, 816-531-PLAY, and that translates into numbers 7529 as we speak to the ladies about it. Is it usually, for most weeks, is it a Wednesday through Sunday run each of the weeks?
Correct. About. We have our first preview on Wednesday, and then we run. Of course, we have Mondays or the Actors' Day off, so the official the theater is dark on Mondays.
Yes.
And then we close on April 1st, which is a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we run every day with the exception of Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've had a number of roles recently. I recently saw you play the Queen.
Yeah.
Down at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater, and you've worked there several times. Where else have you worked?
I've worked at Kansas City Rep. I've worked, obviously, at the Unicorn, the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. I've worked at the Coterie. I've also done regional theater, so I've worked around the country quite a bit. I lived in New York for several years, so I worked there as well, television and all of that fun stuff. But Kansas City is my home now, and this is where I make my artistic endeavors happen.
Sure. Anjali, where have we seen you on stage before?
Primarily, I've done a lot of shows at the Coterie Theater. I also did two shows at the New Theater. I did You Can't Take It With You, which yeah. featured Jim O'Hare from Parks and Rec. And I also did the second round of Hairspray there. And then this is actually my first show at the Unicorn, and I'm so excited, and I'm so happy it's with this crowd, with this cast, and Darren being our director, he's just been amazing. Like, this has been one of the most amazing rehearsal processes that I've ever been in. And yeah, I'm just so excited for everyone to see it.
Such a special role.
Interesting enough, not only do I play Arella, but I also play Jillian and Graham's 4-year-old daughter, which has been fun and interesting, and the dynamics of their household is also plays a role in the whole show as a whole, really. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I can see where that tribe, if tribe is the right word, would have become isolated. I've been to the Grand Canyon. It was not always accessible to the public as much so as it is now.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the running themes as far as like the isolation. And the only way Jillian can get down there is either a hike or horseback or a helicopter ride.
Not horseback.
Yeah.
Don't like that, do you?
Well, I am deathly afraid of horses.
Oh, no.
And I mention it in the play several times. And, so
well, you can
no
canoe down the Colorado River and
yes,
actually go see.
I know. But me personally, I love horses. I was just in Mexico, and I went horseback riding on a beach, and it was fantastic. And I used to do it all the time when I was a kid. So it cracks me up a little bit that in this play, I'm deathly afraid of horses.
Well, interesting show. A lot of dilemmas for the doctor to look at, study. Does she feel guilt about this, or is she so determined to find something?
I think she's pretty much 100% determined. Mm-hmm. Determination to find a cure for Alzheimer's as fast as she can, and to continue with the research that she has been on. I feel that she thinks that she has done nothing wrong, that she is searching for the truth. Science is based on facts, and that is her stance, and that is her religion. And I don't think she feels guilty about that. If anything, I think she feels bad that she possibly might not have a job anymore, which will just slow her.
There's so often there's a clash between medicine and religion and, and science and all that. And it sounds like this explores that fairly well.
And I just wanted to also say we do have 3 talkbacks during the whole run of the show, March 13th, 18th, and 25th. So we encourage people to come out, and we'll be sitting on stage and answering questions and having a discussion, which we end up having a lot during the rehearsal process. It's just talking about this whole dilemma and situation altogether.
I would think so. Well, we're about out of the hour. Thank you so much for being here. Manon Halliburton, who plays the role of Jillian, Anjali.
Yes.
Gavin, who is in the show and plays a prominent role as well. Thank you so much for being with us. Show opens at the Unicorn, officially previews the 7th. Officially, you said it earlier.
This coming Saturday. The 10th.
The 10th. Thank you so much for being with us. The Jazz Inside with us next. He'll be bringing you some great jazz. Jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. Kansas City Community Radio. I'm playing with Play-Doh.
Next time.